possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Now live to a man who needs no tickets to a Giants game. He is Alex Pavlovich of NBC Sports Bay Area, joining us now on the River Islands guest line. And before we get into Bo Mel and just the depressive nature of what's going on with Giants baseball right now, let's get to the good stuff, Alex. How's the book going? How's it going?
It's doing really well. It actually did so well that they moved to paperback already. So I'm very appreciative of everybody who bought one, who helped me. You guys had me on a couple times, so it's been great. And it's honestly, it's been something really cool to experience, like the book signings and meeting Giants fans and people who got it early. So it's been really nice.
Okay, there it is. The franchise. San Francisco Giants, a curated history of the orange and black. That's from Alex Pavlovich, and it is available coming up here in paperback. And so you can get that wherever you get your books. Awesome. Well, congrats, Alex. That's fantastic, man.
I don't think they've won a game since it came out. But the book did well.
Yeah. Would you like to write a new chapter? 2025, this sucks. Like, how about that? Can we do that?
Yeah, there's a couple chapters of there of seasons that went in the tank. And this feels like, you know, I'm like, yeah, I've covered this a few times.
Alex, here's my question. It's the question they won't answer, and I'm starting to get frustrated by it. When people go, hey, you know, to Logan Webb or Bo Mel, and they're like, what is it? What happened? What's not working? Their answer across the board is, we don't know. Like, if we knew, we would fix it. So that's one of the reasons we want to come to someone like yourself. What is it? Why is this team not better?
You're going to hate me. I really don't know. I was doing this this morning. I was looking up some of the offensive numbers. And the crazy thing is a lot of these guys are going to kind of end up where you would think, like where you would be like, okay, that was fine. He had the season that we expected from him. They just cannot do it at the same time. And we saw Adames go crazy in July, but obviously we know early in the year for him, you know, right now it's Devers and it's Dom Smith, but there's guys behind him who aren't able to do it. So I don't know that I've ever covered a team where you're like, they're healthy. These are their guys. This is their lineup. You feel, if you look at the names every day and look at some of the numbers on the scorecard, it looks okay. But then you're not surprised when they score one run. I really don't. I think they are baffled by it a little bit. And I think there's going to be a deep dive in the offseason if it keeps going this way. But I don't know the exact answer, because there's been other teams I've covered where it's like, well, you know, they lost this guy, they lost that guy, this is really easy to figure out, or something happened along the way. I really don't know what to tell you. I mean, I look at the lineup card today, and a lot of these guys are big names, and they're going to end up with 18 homers, 22 homers, 27, and they just can't put it together.
And I wondered situationally from whence those home runs derive. In other words, what situations? And that's something that I'm going to look at when I start to do my dive. But I look at a team yesterday, Alex, who had two at-bats with runners in scoring position, and they didn't deliver on either one. Is it as simple as a lack of lineup connectivity? Like you were saying, you might have two guys hot one game and then a different two the next.
Yeah, and I think that's hard to figure out. I mean, the easy thing to look at is, like, they just don't hit with runners in scoring position, and they haven't for a while now. And I think if there was one thing I'd point to overall, they've been really bad at home, especially offensively, and I don't know that this team is fully built for this ballpark. I think they're trying to get there, and we've seen the way Buster is drafting, and we've seen, you know, some of the guys they've traded for. There is a different style, but this is a team that I think on the road you see they can hit timely homers and they can get those extra base hits. They haven't been able to do it here. They don't run at all, which is something we've been waiting years for them to get more athletic. And I go back to like teams that I wrote about and teams that are in that book that, you know, you would have Angel Pagan and Gregor Blanco and Hunter Pence and these guys who would run a little bit and do some more things. I think that's part of it, but in general, I still think they have good players out there, and I think that's what I know. I get the frustration with Bob, and his answers after games. But I think he looks up and there's a runner on second and a runner on third, and he sees two good players come up, and he thinks one of them will get the job done, and they just haven't done it.
Alex Pavlovich, NBC Sports Bay Area, with us here on Weatherden Dibs 95.7 The Game. Let's dive a little further into the Bob situation. Alex, how safe is he at the end of the year?
That's a good question. I mean, I said this at the time when they picked up the option, that none of these things ever are guaranteed. I mean, it's an option for next year. It's not three more years. It's 1 year. And if the season goes completely in the tank, you never know. I mean, Buster could decide that, hey, we've changed our mind in the last 3 months. I mean, sometimes these things happen quickly, too. You look at, there was some ambiguity with Gabe and with Farhan in August and early September about what would actually happen. And there were a lot of questions. And then all of a sudden, it just happened really quickly with both of those guys. I still think Bob will be safe. I think Buster likes working with him. I think, in general, we've seen one thing we've heard from Buster over and over again in recent months is he has put some of this on the clubhouse, which usually you don't hear in professional sports. But I think rightfully he has pointed to these guys and gone, look, this is it's an expensive roster. You guys are a bunch of veterans and you haven't performed. And I think he would probably not feel great about even any perception that he has scapegoated a manager for a team that hasn't played well. I'm not saying that would be the case, but just even anything that it's putting it on one person when I think this is, a failure across the board the last month. So I still think he would be safe, but certainly cannot feel as good as he did a month ago at this time or 6 weeks ago and whenever he got the extensions.
Yeah, the definition of insanity is when you repeat something that's not working. So if they wind up with another near 500 season, what do you think would be the most logical change that he could make to shake things up?
Well, can I counter, too, that they, repeating something, they have fired their manager, they fired their president of baseball operations, they have gotten rid of a lot of coaches in the last few years. At some point, you can't keep going to those people. At some point, maybe you have to look at how you're developing, or at some point you put it on the clubhouse, which I think Buster has done. I don't know what they'll do at the end of the season if it keeps going this way and they end up 500, because it is going to be pretty similar to previous years. But we've seen that cost people their jobs. I think there probably would be some staff changes in that case. And look, Buster will have had a full year to digest and see who he wants to keep and what he wants to do behind the scenes.
How much of the front office scouting department changed over from Farhan to Buster?
A fair amount. I mean, there was, new pro scouting director. Zach got promoted. So there's been some new guys. But there also are a lot of people who have been here a while. And I think those people have had success at times, and they've also experienced some mediocre seasons now. So I've been through a few of these now. I know September in a season like this, if it keeps going like this, is not at all comfortable for coaches. Usually those people are on short contracts. A lot of them are year to year. So it's not going to be a comfortable time, I think. And I typically come down on the side of feeling for those people as well, because they're just not making a lot of money and they're not guaranteed of what's next. They're not the ones making $17-20 million. And I think that's one thing that I'll go back to. We have heard that from Buster a couple times, and because he has been in that spot as the player, as the star of a team. And I think he wants to, a little bit more of the shouldering of the blame to be on those guys.
Alex, do you think they got any buyer's remorse on Jung-Hoo Lee?
No, I don't think so. I mean, look, at the very least, he's been a fan favorite here, which they needed more of. I think what they probably are going to look at the end of the year is they probably played him too much in the first half. And that is the one thing that we don't know about him, just because we saw 37 games last year. But look, he is, we saw this with Yaz over the years. I'll go back to, I remember covering Blanco. Like, Blanco was great for 2 weeks. If you played him for 2 months, at some point you'd look up and the numbers weren't there. So I do think it's maybe easy to point at the frame and go, it looks like he's worn down. But I do think he looks like he is worn down a little bit, especially at the end of the first half. And I do wonder, going into next year, if they will feel like maybe they need to find a few more days off and ways to keep him fresh. I also think, and it's one thing I asked Bob Melvin today, just about the base running, because of the injury last year and because he was rehabbing, basically going into spring training, they didn't work on some things that they want to work on this offseason. He probably does need an adjustment a little bit in how he plays the game, and going the other way a little bit more, being more of a singles hitter, putting more pressure on the defense. And he's a fast guy. He just doesn't steal a whole lot or try to steal a whole lot. And I think that's going to be something that they talk to him about going into the offseason.
Carson Wisenhunt sent out today. Tyler Fitzgerald recalled. Do you think that's just to get more bats up, knowing you're going to skip Carson? Would you anticipate he comes back up and makes another start in the next 8 days or so?
Yeah, I think this is one of those roster moves for today, when specifically they have a lefty on the mound and they didn't have another right-handed option in the outfield. So they'll get Fitz back up here and maybe keep him and keep him in that utility role. I mean, I don't know that they need both Gilbert and McRae here when they have Lee in center field. So we'll see how that goes. But I think we'll see Wisenhunt again this year. And, one thing that will happen at the end of the year, if I keep saying if it goes this way, just because they're trying to chase down a Mets team that loses every night seemingly. So that has kind of kept them in this race. But if they do fall out of it, I do think they want to take a look at Tidwell. They want to see Birdsong again. So there are some guys they would like to see Wisenhunt again. There are some guys they would like to see down the stretch. And there will be innings because – there are guys in the rotation currently who probably at some point will need to be shut down.
Is Bryce Eldridge one of the people they would like to see in that scenario?
I think they would. They're being extremely, deliberate with that one and making sure. Like, I know there were some people speculating when Wilmer hurt the hamstring and then Gerard goes down. When he comes up, he's here ideally to stay, and he is here to play every day. And I asked Buster a couple weeks ago. We had him on our podcast after the deadline, and I asked him about his experience as a September call-up, and he's like, I don't know that I really got much out of it. He got like 17 at-bats over a few weeks. He didn't play a whole lot. I think he believes pretty strongly that when Bryce arrives, that he is in the lineup every day for the rest of the season when that happens. And we'll see when they get to that point, if they get to that point this year. I think right now there's no pressure because it is, for as much as we talked about early in the year about Wade and first base and all that, like, right now they have Devers and they have Dom Smith, who's been their best hitter maybe the last couple of weeks, and they feel okay there, and they're totally fine with letting Bryce figure it out. And there are the highlights are great. The power is great. He's doing a really good job. I've heard really positive things about how hard he's working defensively and how far he has come along there. But he is striking out a fair amount, and there is, a way to pitch to him right now in AAA, and big league pitchers will execute on those pitches. So there's some work to be done, but they are very excited about him, and I think, ideally, if this keeps going this way, they would get a look at him in September.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station in the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries, always live on the free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios, and we're talking with Alex Pavlovich of NBC Sports Bay Area.
Pavs, Landon Roop goes 3 innings and throws 50 pitches in AAA. Is it your understanding, did Bob Melvin talk about whether or not he'd be ready to come up and take a turn?
Yeah, he's going to be back on Friday. And he felt like he was ready, and he was their best, their number three guy, and really throwing as well as anybody. So he'll be back on Friday. Kaiway Teng, we'll get tomorrow's game. They felt that was part of the thing with Wisenhunt, is it was going to be one of those two guys. And Hank threw pretty well on Friday, so he'll get another shot tomorrow. And then he'll get a shot to actually start it against a pretty good lineup.
Alex, I also just, you think about some of the words that are coming up, especially over the last 48 hours, with regard to what fans are seeing at the ballpark, and even Bomell saying it, it's just kind of lifeless. So what if we asked it from that perspective? It's not so much the numbers that the players are putting up, but why in your mind does this thing feel like it's just so, so vanilla, so not there?
Yeah, I mean, for me, that's the biggest thing right now. And I brought my son on Sunday. He's almost 2 years old, and he had a blast in pregame introductions because he's just learned how to clap, and he was clapping along with everything. And then he had nothing. There was nothing. He's not going to clap on his own, and there was nothing to cheer about after that for the rest of the game. And that has just kind of become the case here. And I was in the stands for the first time all year and looking around, and there have been really good crowds all year. There were 40,000 on Sunday, and they gave them absolutely no reason to cheer, and that's become the norm. I for me, that is kind of the unforgivable part of this season, is being this bad at home after you started getting back to 38,000-40,000 a game, and that is something I think that probably really annoys Buster more than anything, because he talked about it in his press conference about memory making. And look, they built some momentum early in the year, and I was stunned before the deadline when they drew 35, 38, and 38,000 against the Pittsburgh Pirates, and then played the way they did. It just, for me, that was like the biggest letdown that they could have possibly had, not just because it led to what happened at the trade deadline, but because they had really built some momentum with this fan base, and they haven't, you know, it's tough. You're asking people to spend a lot of money to come here, and when people do that and they watch a game like last night, it's tough to ask them to come back over and over again.
Especially when you have that kind of a disinterested product that you're seeing on the field. So what can Bob Melvin do? I know he's not a flip the spread and go crazy guy, and you've got veterans in there who should know how to get out of it, but what does a manager do? What's the solution to try to salvage something here as you get down the stretch?
Yeah, you know, they've tried to, I mean, today it's a little bit of a different look with the lineup. I think some of the younger guys are, maybe you see them play a little bit harder. That's what you like to see. I mean, I did like seeing at least Gilbert.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Energy last night. I know it didn't work out for him going into third, but I like the bravado there. But I do think I'll go back to sort of like these guys just turning it around suddenly and starting to win some games here. I think a big part of this will be in September and getting some other young guys up here and maybe seeing if some of those guys can bring some energy. And I think it was important what happened at the deadline. It was a message to this clubhouse that, you know, you can't keep, to your earlier point, you can't keep doing this over and over again and all your friends get to stay. Like, they get traded if this happens. And Buster did not do a whole lot last offseason. I think he wanted to get a lay of the land, but, you know, he would be more active, I think, this offseason if it keeps going this way, because it is, the energy is a big thing, and it's problematic, I think, when it feels like this happens every year in the second half. This group just runs out of energy. And at some point, you need to figure out what's going on there and who can be the spark.
Alex, great stuff, man. Thank you so much for the time. Appreciate it. Congrats on the success of the book.
Thank you, guys. And I will say, I heard you talk about this. Zach Greinke blew me off really well.
Yeah.
Who is my book?
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Oh, so this was recent.
This was, I mean, I tried to talk to a bunch. I don't blame him. He was very actually polite about it, but it was, he was just like, yeah, absolutely not. So it was a good one. And I'm like, yeah, you don't have to talk to me. So.
Who's not been polite? Like, what was your worst, if you're willing to go there, because it was years gone by? Like, what was your worst interaction with a pro athlete?
I don't want to say who it was, because it's been very nice to me since.
Oh.
But early in the Farhan era, remember they made a bunch of cash considerations trades?
Yeah.
Yes.
And
yes.
My editor asked me to write a story about it, and I went up to a player and asked him about the concept of getting traded for cash, and he was not having it and just was very upset and stood up right away. And he took offense to be, you know, I maybe asked it in a poor way, but he's been very nice to me since. But I learned, I was like, oh yeah, guys don't like being traded for cash. So it's not a, you don't feel like you got traded for something then.
Dude, I'm Googling so hard right now.
I just looked and it's...
Just Googling my face off right now.
AI answered with...
There was like 20 of them, so you're not going to be able to find it, because every trade was cash consideration.
I know.
Could it be Breivik Valera traded to Baltimore for cash? Mike Ford, Anthony Banda, Trevor Gott, Alex Young, Tyro Estrada traded for cash.
Yeah.
Okay.
Lord, a lot of Giants cash deals.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
Where'd all that cash go? That's my question.
Rafael Devers.
Totally.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Alex.
All right, guys. Take it easy.
Okay. Alex Pavlovich, NBC Sports Bay Area. Don't ask him about deals with cash considerations.